Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of the program here. We are happy to be with you. It's Jacob Albrecht. It's Paul Savage in for Tommy today. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Thank you to all those who celebrate with us, including Adam, who says he finally got a day off and could see these beautiful shirts we've been talking about. That's right, Adam.
Attaboy, Adam.
Gives a shout out to the Kingsville Javelinas, old conference foe of my alma mater, West Texas A&M. A little jab there. You want to talk about... People talk about travel, Paul. Oh, the travel. What do you have to fly across the country? Try driving on a bus from Canyon, Texas, down to Kingsville, Texas.
Oh, my God.
Tell me about travel.
Yeah.
People think, you know, Texas. I think people forget that the state of Texas, if you flipped it upside down, how far you'd get. Just north to south. That is a 640-mile drive.
Yeah,
Paul, 640 miles. I like that. Think about that for a minute.
Wow, that's
you want to talk about travel. That is that's a Division II conference football game. How about that?
Yeah,
well, you could get to. Let me just try to put that in perspective for a second. You could get from Canyon, Texas, almost to Des Moines. You could get to Canyon, Texas. To Kansas City faster than you can get from Canyon, Texas to Kingsville, Texas. Okay, so the travel. I always hear about travel. Like, come on. You know, bus it there for a baseball game in the middle of the week.
Yeah, that's right. We're not talking flying, are we? We're not talking about taking a plane.
Not for those. Maybe for football. Yeah. Maybe for football. Anywho, Kevin Saul, we're connecting there. We'll try to get that for you at some point here in this hour. No big deal. As we make our way through it, Paul, a college football note that I want to mention here. By the way, you can call us. Let's do this. Let's tidy up. So you can call us on the IHOP hotline 869-1240. That's good. Brought to you by IHOP,
right?
Where you can celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House Faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. You can do that. You can leave us video comments. We've had several of those. We'll get to a couple of those here as we make our way through the program. You can also leave us your voicemails. Ken is so far leading the clubhouse in voicemails. We've had a few people take advantage of this. Ken does pretty frequently. So here's Ken's voice message, which you can do on the Odyssey app. It's super easy. Let's hear that on the Royals. We'll comment there, then we'll get Kevin Saul in for a quick visit.
Good morning, fellas. Looking forward to the game tonight. Got to wonder what this playoff run does to the push for a new stadium. It's got to get a big boost somehow. Anyway, go Royals.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I've wondered about that. I don't know if it's going to re-motivate the voters who have already voted it down, but it might motivate downtown Kansas City to find a way to get something done. And, you know, meanwhile, the state of Kansas is just going to sit here and wait. We bring in Kevin Saul now. Kevin, you a Royals fan? Are you enjoying this?
I am a Royals fan. I am very much enjoying this because you guys know as well as anybody, you could probably count on less than two hands and maybe one hand when you're watching Royals baseball deep into October.
It's been a while, 9 years since we've had an opportunity to watch it at the K. So we're looking forward to that. I like their chances. I really do. I've been saying that for a while.
They really are playing well. When you start to see guys that are outperforming their season averages and, you know, in individual games, and you see different snapshots and they're outperforming that, it certainly is encouraging. The pitching was really, really good the other day. And it's interesting because in the Saul family, my dad grew up on Long Island. So we've got a pretty good deal going on right now between the Yankees and Royals in the Saul family.
Well, that's too bad. I hope that I hope that you find success with the Royals and you twist that knife. I talked to a buddy yesterday, and he said he was taking his son up there, and I didn't know this. His son is a Yankees fan, and he's trying to like, we can go if you'll wear a Bobby Witt Jr. And his son is holding strong to his Yankee fan. I think that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. It's an old series that has a lot of history. Kevin Saul,
no doubt. That was a Pine Tar game. Was a Yankee game, right?
Paul, that's a you question.
That's right.
It was a Yankee game.
Yep, it was.
I know.
I have a really fond memory. I know we want to get on to other things, but I have a really fond memory of the 85 World Series Game 6. I was in bed. Dad and Mom had come home from something, some sort of an outing, and Dad woke me up, and we watched the end of Game 6 on a little 13-inch color Zenith in his bedroom and watched George Brett and Willie Wilson and Frank White and Buddy Biancolana and all those guys. Steve Balboni.
It's great. There was that memory, and then there was nothing for about 35 years. And then you had the, you know, the recent run, and it took way too long to get back, but they're back. They're back. It's been such a fun season to follow. As we look at the Shockers, Kevin, a couple of things. One, any updates on Mate? We're just going to keep asking you guys this and hope for some good news, but I know it's a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah, it has been. I tell you, there's like anything else, it's not just one pathway. It's like once you expire this pathway, then you can go here, then you can go here, then you can go here, and we continue to walk our way through it. It is in process, which is a very vague way of saying that we are diligent, we're on it every day, we're pushing it to make sure that we can get to a good spot. There's been a good exchange of question and answer going back and forth. I think we're in a pretty good spot, but at the end of the day, you don't know on these things until it's done. And he's been incredibly patient. He's an unbelievable young man. He's so respectful, and he's a great locker room guy. He's a good player, and we'd love to have him as a part of our team. So process ongoing. We're ping-ponging information back and forth. We've asked for a decision sooner than later. And so we hope we're progressing through it day by day here.
I want to bring in, and this won't impact that, but it is something that, yet, you know, I was in the newsroom yesterday and this came down the wire and people were asking me this settlement, the preliminary agreement on the settlement to basically free up the older players who are going to get their rake of this $2.8 billion. It's all very complicated. And I think that's less interesting to people than what it opens up moving forward, which, if I read it correctly, that opens the door then for schools to sort of facilitate the NIL and pay these players. $20 million has been thrown around. Is that a football number, or how does all this impact the Shockers? I can't imagine it's that budget for, you know, for Wichita State without football.
Yeah, there's a cap. So if you're in the FBS Power Four conference, it's 22% of revenue capped at $20 million. That could go as revenue share. So basically what you will see happen probably effective next July, August, provided the House settlement gets finally approved in April. That's an important piece, is that the final approval on House isn't until April. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth until then. But what you'll see is there's two areas of NIL right now. There's the nonprofit side, and then there's the for-profit where you're doing advertisements for businesses and all those things. The for-profit piece will still exist post-House. Young people will still have the opportunity to go be in a Eddie's Toyota commercial or whatever the case may be. The nonprofit components of it will shift into athletics departments in the name of revenue share. And so that that it's permissive legislation. You don't have to do it, but at the end of the day, if you're going to recruit and retain elite level talent, you better be in the middle of that. We won't obviously be at $20 million cap because of the football component, and we'll need to make sure that that obviously we're doing it the right way. We the collective will be distributing probably close to $1.2 million in all of our sports this year, whereas last year I think we were at about 400,000, so that's almost tripled, nice. Which has been good. We estimate that if we're going to do it the right way, it's probably going to be closer to $2.5 million. So it's going to have to double again for us, and that would be the revenue share approximation for us, $2.5 to $3 million. Again, we could go up to 20 if we wanted to, but you wouldn't do that as a non-football playing institution. So the other pieces to that that still have to get ironed out between now and April 7th, guys, is Title IX, gender equity, how does revenue sharing play into all those components? Because there's an argument on both sides. The market is driven by a few sports
in a
specific gender in terms of that market, but you can't ignore the other side. And so if we're taking funds here and we're sticking them here with folks that hasn't necessarily earned it, then you're opening yourself up for litigation both ways. So,
Do you think it's as simple as line iteming each sport and saying of those?
I do. Eventually, I do. Yeah, okay. I think you're going to have a revenue. You're going to have a revenue share line in each sport, or you're going to have a. You're going to centralize it into one particular budget area, and then you're going to. Separate it from the sport.
Revenue this sport generated. Yeah. This is how much revenue gets shared to that sport. That's that seems the simplest.
You know, one of the questions, Kevin, is that comes to mind, and somebody asked me this the other day, and I didn't really have a great answer, and that was, are agents going to become involved with college athletes? Are agents going to negotiate all this stuff? Are you going to start dealing with somebody who represents one of the Wichita State players in basketball, for instance, and he's going to make the deal for that player? Where are you at? Are you starting to see any of that? Or, for instance, I guess my point would be, take your highest paid NIL person in at Wichita State. Is he negotiating his own contract, or does he have a representative doing it?
Well, Paul, I would submit to you in obviously different levels. Agents and advisors have been a part of this deal for decades. Okay. Young people, like, think about it in the sport of baseball. It's been permissive in baseball and hockey for a very long time for young people to have agents and advisors that represent them, to help them make decisions on whether or not they go draft or stay back, to help them through.
That I know. Yes.
Yes. To help them through like a pre-draft combine, advice, those components.
Right.
What in that scenario, those agents and advisors haven't been able to represent kids to professional organizations or discuss financial components on their behalf. Now they can. So I just think it's going to be a deeper level of involvement. It varies recruit to recruit. I can tell you, and we've talked on your show, that if we're getting a call through men's basketball, and in the first conversation, the young person or an agent or an advisor would reach out and immediately start talking NIL, we're moving on. We've got to have people that want to be a part of this program that certainly will have some value and we'll take care of on the front end. And we've talked at length. Retention is more important than acquisition. And so we choose to spend those dollars on retention as opposed to a lion's share on acquisition.
One more for me on this, and then we'll get into some of the things happening there on campus. When you project needing about $2.5 million, is that equitable with the other basketball programs or the other non, if you pushed football to the side, I guess is a better way to say it, for all the other schools in the American, is that about where you would project them to be?
Yeah. And again, it's not transparent. So we're trying to read between the lines. We have relationships with like Open Doors and Influencer that have collected some aggregated data to help us look at where we are. But yeah, that's a general non-football number that would make us competitive in all of our sports. And so when you look at $2.5 million, what's that? It's probably $1 million, $1.5 million on the men's basketball side. It's probably a couple $100,000, maybe $250,000 baseball, softball. It's probably $100,000 in volleyball. It's probably $300,000 to $400,000 in women's basketball. And so you start to add all those things up and you can get to about $2.5 million.
Let's talk volleyball. This is all fascinating. We always appreciate the transparency. I think people are confused as much as anything else. So we do appreciate it. Volleyball starts conference play kind of on a little heater. I know they didn't win their last one, but which, you know, we know Coach Lamb schedules aggressively and all of these things, and you kind of just wait and see when it comes to conference play, a 3-1 start to conference play. I have to imagine that everybody's feeling pretty good about that, and that's the ticket into a postseason, which is always the goal. What's the level of confidence right now that volleyball can make a run?
Yeah, preseason ranked second in the league, and so our confidence level is really high. And if you talk to our coaching staff, you know, it's going to be a logjam 1 through 5. You think you've got one or two teams that might separate out in that top tier, but the 3 through 5 is going to be really tight as well. So matches like the really, really close one against Rice this past Sunday are going to be critical. You know, we beat Memphis and Temple 3-1 each, went down to UAB and swept those guys 3-0. You can see that the preseason, the scheduling, the development has really paid off from a league standpoint, and we lost a really, really close one to Rice. So the thing that I think makes all of our hair turn a little bit gray in volleyball, and I talked to Coach Lamb about, is you can play a set that's 25-23 or 28-26. You can play a 25-20, and then all of a sudden you'll have one that's a 25-15 or a 25-12, and you go, well, what happened there? You know, and volleyball is such a nuanced sport in terms of rotations and positions and that strategy component of it. But at the end of the day, really, really close, came down to 5 sets. Those are the matches we're going to win a regular season championship. And then obviously we host the postseason American Athletic Conference Championship in November as well. So we'll have an opportunity to win a championship and go to the NCAA tournament on our home floor.
I'm going to switch over to men's basketball for just a minute, Kevin, if you don't mind, because something going on with the men's basketball team I find fascinating, and that is a thing that you guys call a focus on the Final Four. In other words, we're not talking about the Final Four in April. We're talking about the final 4 minutes of every basketball game, because a lot of games, as you and I and Jacob, we understand, a lot of basketball games are won or lost in the final 4 minutes, and I find this a fascinating deal. Give me a synopsis of what the final 4 minutes means, and what is Wichita State doing with that coaching staff with regards to an emphasis on the final four. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, it's a combination of technical skills and abilities. It's a combination of basketball IQ, so the mental side of it as well. And whether it's skills, drills, team activities, the physical demanding week that they had in the weight room and doing all those different things, is trying to push yourself to get it's not dissimilar to the fourth quarter that you see in football. It's like, you know, we look at I think there's stats last year that we were I'm probably going to be off on this just a little bit. I think we were 3-8 last year when within 5 points with like 2 or 3 minutes to go in the game. And so obviously you got to flip that. You win 15 games last year and you flip that, and all of a sudden you're a 20 game winner and you're probably in the NIT. So as you mentioned, Paul, the last 2, 3, 4 minutes, critically important. You have the guard play where you can maintain and withhold a lead while you're trying to bleed clock? Do you hit free throws well? It's all the mental and technical skills and ability to be able to close out games. I had an old coach, Paul, that used to tell me there's 3 types of winning. There's learning how to win, which I think is what we're talking about now. How do you close out games and how do you win? That's one skill set. The second skill set is, how do you sustain winning? Right? Because then you bring into media components, outside distractions, hype, all those things. How do you sustain winning is another learned skill set. And then the third one is how to win when you're supposed to, because that's a whole nother mental component to deal with. So again, I think we're learning how to play a full game, 8 sets of 4 minutes, and work our way through it.
Kevin, Shocktoberfest, last time we had you on, it was right before Shocktoberfest. How did everything go there?
Good. It was really good. The university, this is our second year doing Shocktoberfest in the fall, and we want to continue to do that to create the history and tradition and get into some rhythm. And so I think you saw a little bit more cohesiveness. You saw some more creative things around campus, but it was a full week of it. We did a really nice parade on Saturday that finished here. We did a pre-Shocker Madness tailgate. that had several hundred folks. We had our teams out there as well, and really, really good. And then all that fed into to Shocker Madness. So we'll continue to do that. It's been a lot of fun to partner with folks on campus.
Kevin, we appreciate it. Good luck with everything. We'll be watching volleyball, that big one. South Florida is next.
Paul, I should have said 10 sets of 4 minutes, but the week that basketball does is the 10th round, right? So the 10th round is the last 4 minutes, but there's 10 sets of 4 minutes. So you kind of look at it as 10 individual games.
Got it. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, you're exactly right with the philosophy. Man, oh man, a lot of games, won and lost in the last 4 minutes. I get it. No, I think that's pretty good.
And most football games will come down to five plays.
Ask KU. That is correct.
Ask KU. That was kind of a little jab there, wasn't it?
We were just fresh off a conversation with Sri Lata, but it's been.
I don't care what level, guys, college, pro, whatever it is. If it's a game that's within 7 to 10 points, it probably comes down to five or less plays.
Yeah, that's right.
We pull our hair out.
You are right.
Yeah. Sunday, betting the NFL. We're just 18 days away. Everybody, from the start of men's basketball, that exhibition with Emporia State. I know GoShockers.com has all the season ticket information. Get out there, check it out. Your home of Shocker basketball right here on KFH. We can't wait for it. Getting those calls and that energy back going here. Kevin, we appreciate it. We'll count down the days.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. You can react to any of that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, does Texas have a quarterback controversy? We'll preview the Royals a little bit more and maybe spend a little bit of time on the Robert Saleh thing, because that's what everybody seems to be talking about at the national level. Maybe we will. I do think it's interesting. On the way out, let's give away some HTO, our second text to win contest today. You can enter the contest by texting the keyword T right now to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from. You can mix, you can match, you can do it all. It will also get you a free coffee, iced or hot, any of the special drinks. It's good for any of them. Ask the staff about their favorites, all kinds of good stuff there. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. These will be good for any of the three Wichita metro locations, east, west, or in Derby. Again, T 20357. Good luck, everybody. More Sports Daily right after this.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, let's catch our breath here a little bit on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you on this Wednesday. It's a hump day. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Get out there and celebrate, everybody, with us. Walk around. We'll be doing this in the dead of winter, too, by the way. Then you'll really get a cross look. I had, Paul, last week, I also have an important corporate meeting that I have to get on for my wife and I's business, which, as everybody knows, are the HTOs. And it opens up, and the first thing I get last week was like, oh, nice shirt. what do you sell? You at the beach? Like, what are you celebrating?
You made an impression.
I've been rolling with Hawaiians 365 days a year, well before this tradition we've created. I'm going to try and roll through my entire collection. I don't think I've repeated any yet. Here on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays, when Savage introduced the idea, I was all in, baby, all in.
It didn't take much, I remember. Not much at all.
Never miss an opportunity to let the world know you're not afraid of a good time. So here's another fun story about Hawaiian shirts. I'm going to ask both of you, Paul and Jad, keep your answer to yourself, Jad. I'll ask Paul first.
All right.
Are you aware that it means something if you wear a shirt with an upside down pineapple on it?
No, I do not believe I am aware of the meaning of an upside down pineapple. No.
Jad, are you aware of this?
I've heard of the upside down pineapple cake, but not the shirt.
Yeah, okay, that makes me feel a little bit better, because I have felt like I was one of the few people who didn't know this. So one of the Hawaiians, and I've worn it on this show, it's my best blue Hawaiian. I actually wear it all the time, which, when I tell you this, is... it adds a little flavor to that. Love this shirt. Wear it all the time. Apparently, allegedly, wearing a shirt, and listeners, you can chime in on this on our video stream or our phone lines. Apparently, an upside down pineapple on a shirt or Hawaiian shirt means that you're a swinger, means that you're ready to swing. That's like the bat signal to other swingers, like, oh, that guy's, you know. So I've been wearing this shirt for years to kids' events, to sports games, out to the soccer fields. Like, my sister-in-law, when I was back home in Texas, is the one who was like, oh, that's an interesting shirt. Well, I was at a fantasy football draft, and I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. It's my Hawaiian. I like, you know, and I think, you know, whatever, you know, you like to party. And she's like, yeah, you really do, don't you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she informed me, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I have been wearing this shirt, you know, once a week for 3 years. And the messages that must have sent. Now, I'm less worried about that than I am the fact that nobody, all of these people out there have thought I was a swinger. And Paul, nobody asked,
well,
you know?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Should I be offended by that?
No, no. But I'll tell you what. Jad Chambers, his eyes lit up and he says, swinger? You just brought up the word swinger. And Jad's smiling and jumping up and out of his chair.
I'm allowed to say that on the radio, aren't
yeah,
I, Jad?
Well, yeah, sure yeah. You can. Yeah, a lot worse been said today. But I'm going home right, as soon as I get home. I'm going to check my closet because I've probably got 15 or 20 shirts. I've got to see if I have an upside down pineapple. I don't know. I just checked on this shirt. No pineapples at all on this shirt. So that would be it. But I'll tell you what. If I don't have one, by the end of next week, maybe even by the next show we do on a Wednesday, I'm going to have me a shirt with an upside-down pineapple because it pays to advertise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking on Google right now. I don't know how I didn't know this. The upside-down pineapple symbol has a very specific, it says, and sexy meaning in the world of consensual non-monogamy.
Mm.
Is commonly used as an identifier within the swingers community, mm-hmm. often displayed on clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is a big thing on cruises. Mm-hmm. I guess that's, you know, on a cruise, how you can, you know, let people know. I'm not surprised that I didn't know this. I am surprised that nobody has been confused and, you know, asked me some uncomfortable questions before. I must be losing my touch there on that. But no, everybody, if you see me out in my favorite blue Hawaiian, I don't swing. Okay. Yeah. Like we're not into that game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into that world,
right?
You know, no judgment there. If you are, good for you, but not for me. But I've been apparently representing myself as if I were for a very long time now.
Well, all I can say is, you know, you take a look at me. Take a look at me, Jacob. Look at me right now. Does this just kind of reek of sexiness? Come on.
Paul Savage on a cruise ship with an upside-down pineapple shirt is
makes
trouble.
Sense.
I'll tell you
makes
that
sense,
right
doesn't
now. I'll tell you that right now. What's the old say? If that cruise ship is rocking,
Don't come a-knocking.
All right, I'm going to get us in trouble here.
I feel myself turn beet red just now.
Yeah, we'll switch this around. Okay. Where's Tommy? Usually these are the things I can get to embarrass Tommy really quickly and easily.
Well, so, Tommy's not bought into Wednesdays. Hawaiian Wednesday.
No, not
shirt,
he's not in our Hawaiian
he's
shirt
not, he's
Wednesday
not doing
group.
It, yeah.
Apparently Jad's not either. I don't think
Jad's
Jad is caught on yet.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hey, you're supposed to be getting us some KFH Hawaiian shirts.
See,
Paul, that was your mission. Yes, Jad.
Paul never plays along with me, though. Every week I tell him, just tell Jacob that I'm wearing this really magnificent beautiful Hawaiian shirt, and he won't be able to tell. I don't have a camera on me.
I would swing this camera around to show. Can I do that?
You would swing? You would do what?
Oh, for God. I was going to swing the camera around. Oh, my God. You are one perverted individual at times. You know, can I do that real quick? Hold on just a second.
The mind of a 12-year-old over here.
All right. We got him.
That's just my.
There he is right there.
That's a regular just old hoodie. Though. That's a regular old hoodie for Jad.
That's a regular old hoodie right there. That's what
all right. You guys can chime. Am I the only one in the world who didn't know this pineapple thing? Let me know. You can do that through the IHOP hotline, 869-1240, video comments as well, through Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course watching us on 12 News Connected. Paul, as we go, you I feel like you're gonna love stuff like this. So Texas football, Arch Manning has come in and been really good. Quinn Ewers looked like the Heisman favorite before he got hurt. Their numbers are both really impressive. Arch has been slightly better in pushing the ball down the field.
Right.
Ewers has been slightly more efficient, we'll call it. Their touchdown to interception ratios have been really good. They've both been basically really good. I was already surprised when Ewers came back and Texas didn't turn the page. Arch Manning, of course, has handled all of this brilliantly. Arch is probably a little bit better of a runner than Quinn Ewers, but he's never pressed or done anything like that. And, you know, his upbringing, that probably doesn't surprise us. What would you do here? I mean, I think you go back to Ewers, don't you? You shouldn't lose your job to injury, especially when you were playing really, really, really well. But, and I don't think that you want to get into a timeshare with those two, but how do you handle this if you're Texas?
Yeah, isn't this interesting? Isn't this a great problem to have, by the way? There's a lot of colleges that would say, I'd take one of these guys, let alone two of them. And by the way, let's not forget Arch Manning. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last number I heard when he signed with Texas in NIL, wasn't it like $8.5 million? It was somewhere.
Oh, I don't know.
In that neighborhood. So,
Ewers is going to be high too, Paul. Yeah, remember, he came back.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so but the point, I like your point, is what do you do? Here's part of the problem. Arch Manning, although he's looked really well, a few of the opponents that he's played, you know, we're not going to test him. We're not going to be teams that were going to give him great pass rush. We're not going to be teams that could defend on the back end as well as some of the teams that he's going to be playing in the SEC. So with that being said, yes, has he looked impressive? Yes, he looked like a really good quarterback, but he hasn't faced anybody yet. That's about to come. And in fact, it's starting to come now. But it's a tough question, but you're right. You got to start out with who you brung to the dance, don't you? Don't you got to at least start with that? And this is still going to be Ewers' position and his number one quarterback status. It's his to lose, and injuries can't do that. Texas is lucky to have an Arch Manning for a backup. Not everybody has, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation as a backup. And I'll tell you what, I admire Arch Manning. I really have a lot of respect for him because he's handled this with deftness, with aplomb, with graciousness, without any sort of exhibition of anger. I really admire the way he's handled it. I don't know if he's that way in the locker room, but I'll tell you what, I really have a great respect. I shouldn't be surprised. He comes from a quality family. You know, Arch Manning is his grandfather, wouldn't it? Being his grandfather. So this is really, you know, he's handled it well. But no, you got to go back to Ewers, I think, don't you, Jacob? You got to give him the start. When he's healthy, he gets the first start back. I think he does.
Yeah, I think you give it back to Ewers. And I don't think it's even like a quick leash perspective or anything like that. I think you let him play. And it's hard because we just saw Alabama lose to Vanderbilt.
I know.
Like that just happened. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a lot of wiggle room there either if you're Texas. Mm-hmm. But it is a fascinating situation. Good problem to have, right? If you're a fan, mm-hmm. like you got two good quarterbacks, good problem to have.
Right.
Not any big deal.
Oh,
there.
My gosh, yes.
Let's get to another national story that's been circulating around with, and then we'll come back with some more Royals talk. Robert Saleh, we've had, you know, this happened right when we were on the air yesterday.
Right.
You've seen a statement now from Woody Johnson saying it was all his decision.
All him.
Nobody believes that, by the way.
No.
whether it was his decision. What I don't think happened is Aaron Rodgers went to Woody Johnson on the flight back and said, hey, he's got to go, right? What I do think is it was a fractured relationship between Rodgers and Saleh that clearly pushed Woody Johnson to make the decision, whether anybody was asking for it or not. Anybody with two eyes could see that situation and know, yeah, that's not going to work. And again, I'm never an advocate for firing midseason. I'm never an advocate for, you know, giving in to Rodgers and his demand. And I don't think these were demands. But at the same time, like, if you can see this thing spiraling out of control and you know it's not going to work, don't you have to make a change? Mm-hmm. I really don't have any issue with what. And again, as we briefly mentioned yesterday, what are you going to do? Not play Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all those millions of dollars of guaranteed money at the age of 40. I could tell that this was going to happen. I mean, we've all seen how many times, 50 times, maybe you've seen that hug between Aaron Rodgers and the head coach, and Aaron Rodgers definitely pushes him away. And it's not like, and of course, they made it out to be, well, it's like a joke, something was going on between them. But watch the facial expression of Aaron Rodgers. It's like, hey, get away from me, man. There's no funniness to it. There's no smile to it. There's no smirk to it for pushing him away. It was anger in the eyes. That's the very moment I knew that something was up between these two and something was going to happen between these two. These two had lost confidence in each other. And maybe Saul's not the one that lost confidence in Rodgers, but I guarantee you Rodgers has for Saleh.
It's irrelevant, right? Why it's fractured. The point is it's fractured.
It is fractured.
And again, if you have two eyes, it's Super Bowl or bust for the Jets this year.
But you can't.
Ain't winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can't tell me the owner didn't call Aaron Rodgers.
I can tell you that. He didn't have to.
Oh, he didn't have to. Oh, no. Well, maybe.
Because, you don't want to alienate him to everybody else on the team, even though they already suspect it and kind of feel that way. What you definitely don't want is anybody else on the team definitively saying Rodgers made that call. That's why Woody Johnson's out there front facing. But Woody Johnson made that call because of what he could see with his own two eyes. And this is not going to work.
We're not going to
win a Super Bowl. So why not make a change? It's not like Saleh had all this success beforehand, right? He hasn't. He's like 20-36 with what most people would call a very talented roster. No, they haven't had a quarterback, but a lot of teams went in with you know, questions at quarterback at a little higher clip, especially when the defense has been that good and all these things. Robert Saleh is going to land on his feet. He's going to go be a D coordinator and be really good at it again. And maybe he'll get another chance. Let's get a quick phone call in here to the IHOP hotline that'll set us up, I think, for our final segment, which will be Royals Talk. Monty on the line wants to chime in. Kevin Saul talking about those 85 Royals. Monty, a fond memory for you back in 85?
Oh, fantastic memory. I had the good fortune to go to three of those games at the K. I went to game one, game two, and game six. And game six, as he was talking about, was one of the most fantastic sports experiences because ninth inning, and George Order was called safe, but then Dingle, and the stadium, in a matter of a minute maybe, went from total despair to total ecstasy. It was incredible.
And it's playoff baseball. I think we lost an issue there. Yeah, we lost your connection, but your point is good. That's playoff baseball, man. That's what makes it so great, the intensity. Even in, you know, watching that Dodgers-Padres game last night, man, it's just, you're sitting there in the, I think it was the eighth inning when they brought him in, and they bring on their closer and the lights go dark and everybody's phones light up, and it's just so good. Like, when you think of drama in sports, and I hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankees. Don't get me wrong. As a fan, right? As a fan of a team that they knocked out of the playoffs, the only times the Rangers ever had the opportunity, and it wasn't very many. The Yankees are the team that could not even come close. When I think about drama in sports, it's pretty hard to top the drama of the late 90s Yankees.
Yeah, boy.
when they'd get the ball to Rivera, and it, like, oh man, playoff baseball's so good. So good. Royals get after it tonight. We're going to come back. We'll tell you about that game when we return on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Savage. Don't go away.
And 1240.
5:30 pregame coverage of the Royals begins tonight right here on KFH, your home of Royals baseball. The game starts at 6:08, a little earlier than we'd like, but they're playing all four games. So it's okay. We'll get there. It's just like a regular old East Coast game played in the Central Time Zone.
Right.
We'll get there. Try to get off work early if you can and follow along. Listen to it. You can also listen to it on the Odyssey app where you can find this show, podcasted version, there every day. Jad puts that up for you so you can go back and listen. You can also go back and watch on 12 News Connected. Get that app for your smart devices, your TV, whatever it is. And you can go back and you can watch the show as well. All right, Paul. A few minutes here. Final thoughts on the Royals tonight. Listen, I like their chances. I'm going to bet them. They've been a fruitful bet this postseason, typically because they're underdogs. Today, it'll be even money with the Royals. Right now, both teams right around even money. I like Lugo in the game. I'd like to see them get to Schmidt early. And it just feels like at some point you're going to get Bobby Witt Jr. waking up. Maybe that home run from Salvador Perez is the wake-up moment for him. And then, you know, these other unlikely contributors continue to just play major roles. 40-year-old Yuri Gurriel, 36-year-old Tommy Pham. And a lot of role players, Paul, who you just have confidence that they're going to be productive at the plate.
Right.
They're going to be productive.
Right. And, of course, you can always count on, at least it seems like you can count on if anybody comes out of the bullpen, it seems like the Royals have that under control. I have a kind of a dilemma, though, because, you know, I don't like recording baseball because it's hard to watch baseball, you know, recording it if you miss something. I won't get home, Jacob, till about 7:15 with because of football practice. So I'm going to miss some of the Royals game. I mean, it's going to be must-watch TV, you know, particularly with against the New York Yankees. Why wouldn't it be? But I'm really looking forward to and I guess my hopes are so high for a win. I guess I'm really going to come down for a letdown if the Royals don't pull this off and get a win tonight.
This game or this series?
No, this game. This game. Yeah. I got a lot of hopes, and you know, because I'm optimistic about the sending the Yankees home while we're still in Kansas City. I think that's possible, I've kind of put a lot of my, you know, my mental wellness, I've invested into the fact that I want to see them in this thing in Kansas City.
I'm not ready to care about that yet, honestly. I just want them to win the series, and I don't think that it's like all this crazy pressure or anything, just like it wasn't in game two. And probably neither team feels that. If a team feels it, it would be the Yankees, but they feel that pressure every game they ever play. But it does, the energy feels good for Kansas City to me. The free and easy, excited to be here. And the strengths on, you know, the strengths of this team remain, right? We believe in their starting pitching. We believe in their middle of the lineup. And it's not been those two things yet that has carried them through this postseason, at least not in this series. It's been the bullpen, and it's been everybody else in the lineup. That's what gives me so much confidence, right? The two things that you would point to say this, the Royals' strength are these two things. It would be starting pitching, and it would be Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez in the middle of the lineup.
There you go.
They have this series tied at 1-1. And they haven't gotten much out of either of those two strengths. They've gotten their strengths out of everything else. Mm-hmm. That's why I like them. Mm-hmm. Because now these perceived weaknesses have become strengths in the postseason. Mm-hmm. If that times out right and you get the other two matching up with it, they're going to be a really hard team to beat this month. And so I'm not as quite as hung up on tonight's game because it's all about the entire process and the entire way for me. Mm-hmm. I do like them to win tonight, but I'm gonna be panicked if they don't. Yeah. Because I don't think they'll be panicked.
Right. Well, the good news is that today's going to be a special day. If you like playoff baseball, this is the day for you. Starts about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to run till probably, what, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night?
I think I just saw they're opening it up for all the, you know, tailgating and pregame. I think they're opening the gates at 3:30. They want people in there early. They're going to celebrate. I would imagine there's some tip of the cap or nod back to the – you know, to the World Series Royals of this generation, you know, the 15, I'll bet you they have something. I haven't seen that officially. That's what I would do if I were them.
Yeah.
Because that energy those years, I mean, was unmatched. But with, you know, you had the celebrities out there in those runs. Maybe there's some of that, you know, Paul Rudd and the kegger at his mom's house.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been a long time since, you know, 30 years before that is a little different than 9. But it has been a long time. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that is, I know these tickets have been cut by rolling. And if you're not up there, you can listen to it here on KFH.
That's
we'll
right.
Come back. We'll give you all those details as we wrap up this Wednesday edition of Sports Daily.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.